My name is Jaleesa, and my experience as a Black woman when it comes to healthcare has actually been pretty well, believe it or not. My first pregnancy, it ended too soon, and that was a lot for me. And from the doctors down to the nurses were more than caring and loving. I mean, they cried as much as I did, and their care was phenomenal. After giving birth, my blood pressure was very high, and they were so helpful in making sure that I was okay, and I knew that I was not alone, that everything was going to be okay. They literally were so kind to me in that terrifying and devastating situation. I had another son last year, and there was a nurse who seen me every week the last few weeks of my pregnancy, or like the last couple months of my pregnancy. I was coming to the hospital to be checked out, and literally every time I came in, I thought I was giving birth, and she was like, oh my gosh, he's coming today, and he wouldn't come. And she told me that if I came in and gave birth on her off day, she's gonna make it her mission to come to the hospital and be there with me. And believe it or not, guys, she came there. Like, she literally came as soon as she got there. She looked for me. She actually would call in to see if I had came in and had my baby. And when she finally came in and saw my son, I was so thankful of that, because she did not have to do that for me. And to check on me and my baby was so sweet to me. So I want to tell Black women that I do hate that you guys didn't get the care that you needed, but I promise there's doctors out here who do care about us and do care about our health.
Hi, my name is Tomio, and I have been on this intentional journey of self-care over the course of the past 2.5 to 3 years. So it all began when my daughter was diagnosed with Crohn's disease back in 2015, and as a result of her diagnosis, I just didn't focus on my self-care and mental health as I should. In the process of that, my mental health took a downward spiral when I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of everything that I had witnessed my daughter experiencing with her condition. It was just a very traumatic experience for me. I became burnout very quickly, and with the help of a therapist, I learned that I had to prioritize my self-care. As women, especially women of color, I firmly believe that we have a pattern of putting ourselves after everyone else. And in most cases, a lot of times we neglect our own self-care. So my message to women is to definitely make sure that you are prioritizing your self-care. You are prioritizing your mental health, and you are understanding that you cannot pour from an empty cup.
Start off, I'm Tina, pushing 40, and I'm just going to give a little small, quick timeline of my issues as a female. Mid to late 20s, I had issues with my cycle where they were very heavy. My period wouldn't go off. So, of course, you know, go to the doctor, get seen, get checked. They want to put you on birth control. I didn't want to be put on birth control because at that time I thought I was in love and, you know, wanting to have a child, whatever. Get on birth control as well as hormone pills because it's having other issues as well. So, okay, boom. I'm on that. I get on the birth control and the hormone pills. After taking them for so many months, my period stopped. It didn't come on at all. I didn't see a period. So eventually the doctor took me off the hormone pills. And I'm still on the birth control. And then eventually, like by the end of that year of going on it, my period started to come on a little regular. Everything seemed to be okay. Everything else is checking out fine. Fast forward to my early to mid 30s. Early 30s. Having that same issue again
where I'm just having extreme pain, bleeding very heavy. I talked to the doctor about giving a hysterectomy, and because I have no I have no living children, you know, they really don't want to do that. Last year for me, I get sick, thinking it's COVID. It's not. It is pneumonia. Go to the hospital. In there, almost 2 weeks. Find out I am a diabetic, amongst other issues. Once I got on insulin, my cycle changed in color. And it scared me because I've never seen that color come out of me. I immediately go back to the hospital. We'll go back to my doctor, make an appointment with my PCP and my gynecologist. And they was like, it's fine. Everything is okay. If there were any issues outside of that, you know, come back. We'll try something else. So I'm not on birth control. I haven't been on birth control since like my 20s or anything like that. Like I said, I'm pushing 40. Past couple of years, my cycle has been okay. It's been regular to the T. I'm even on a flow app, and with the app, it literally, I can track my period down to the T. Now, being on this insulin, it kind of delayed it like a couple of days or so, but still regular. Now I'm seeing another doctor for my kidneys, and I'm on metformin now for my kidneys. And that metformin has my body, it's like World War II in my body with my cycle as well. But, and now I'm trying to convince my doctor, just going to give me a hysterectomy, because at this point, I'm not trying to have kids. If it happened before I actually turn 40, then that's fine. But if not, I'm fine with it.
Hey, Coochie Gang. I'm Chaz. I am the little sister of the owner of The Monthly. I am so proud to say that because I am so proud of you, sis. I'm going to hop right into what you want to talk about. So, when I was 21, I was diagnosed with PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome. That's when your ovaries are enlarged and you have a lot of little cysts surrounding around it. At the time when I was diagnosed with it, so I was 21, I did not take it serious at all. Because I wasn't having bad periods. I wasn't in pain, but I was having irregular periods. I was growing hair. I was like, what is going on? Because this is not cute. I started to ask, hey, what's going on? My hormones fell off. You know, I'm coming to the doctor. You tell me that I'm good. You know, everything feels normal. Other than, you know, you tell me PCOS, but I never really asked about the education on it. Well, she was like, well, to regulate your periods, you could take birth control, which was a no for me, y'all. I took birth control when I was 18. Me personally, I did not like it. My next option was metformin. Metformin is typically for diabetic patients. It regulates their sugars or something like that. Well, as far as if you're just a regular person, or I would say a female taking it without those diabetic problems, it would be to regulate your hormones and your periods. I took the pill maybe like a week. I didn't like how it made me feel because I was like, oh, woozy, like my sugar was low or something. So I was like, oh no. This it, not taking it, and I was working like crazy, so I knew I was going to be inconsistent with taking it, and I couldn't take the chance on being fertile, because I was a jackrabbit out here with my mans, so we weren't doing that, so I just didn't take it. I started to have very, very, very heavy, heavy, bad, bad periods, like carry in the ballroom heavy periods, like it was bad. So, I went back to the doctor, and she was just basically telling me, you know, if you don't want to take these pills, you got to change your diet. You got to lose some of this weight. Y'all, I was 210 pounds, 210 pounds. I'm down to 175. Well, yeah, 175. So my periods are now regulated. I did not take this serious until my sister started the monthly. Of course, I was going to support her with the movement she was going for. So, of course, I looked more into it. I realized that, hey, I had PCOS. These are one of the things that she talks about. Oh, my God, this is important women's health. I started to, you know, think like that. My third eye opened to that. So it was like, okay, oh, shit. This is what's been going on this whole time, and you have not been taking it serious. Here I am, 26, still don't have any kids. Probably should have been, probably had about 5 by now. But with PCOS, it kind of hindered me. I guess my message to you ladies, because I'm going to cut it short, is pay attention to your health.
Hey guys, Katie here, and I am here today to share with you a little bit about my experience with endometriosis. I recently had excision surgery, and I would say that it has changed my life. I was very blessed to be able to go to Stanford and have an excision specialist, an endometriosis specialist, work with me do my surgery. I was diagnosed with endometriosis in 2017. But prior to my diagnosis, I actually suffered an ectopic pregnancy, internal bleeding, and I was 5 to 10 minutes away from death. Thank God I got to the emergency room in time, but my abdomen was full of blood and I was bleeding out. So after that surgery, they really didn't have any answers, of course. It was emergency surgery, so there was no specialist there to assist. So there wasn't anything. I didn't even get diagnosed. Once I got out of the hospital, that recovery was really rough because they didn't do the normal surgery where they do punctures. They cut me open to save my life. And so recovering from that, it was intense. 6 months later, as I'm trying to figure out why I'm still having pain and what's going on in my body, I develop a cyst on my left ovary that torsioned my ovary, so I had to have yet another emergency surgery. Two surgeries in 1 year. And I would say mentally, it really was difficult. It almost took me out because I just never felt better. For my second surgery, I got diagnosed with endometriosis. However, that surgery wasn't done by an endo specialist, just an OBGYN. So she didn't do excision. She only did ablation. So for the next 4 years, I suffered with so much pain. My endometriosis spread from my pelvis all the way up into my thoracic cavity and chest. And it was just extremely difficult. But I kept fighting. I kept advocating for myself and finally found the proper specialist to do this surgery. And I would just say that never stop fighting for yourself. Never stop advocating for yourself, because there is, I can't say a cure, but there are solutions and there is help, and it does get better.
Hi, Chris. In the monthly, I'm really excited that you're doing this segment, and I just wanted to share a little bit about my own personal struggle finding a therapist that I could relate to. I was having trouble opening up and being honest, like completely raw, with my therapist when I was going to a white man, and he was great, but like I just couldn't open up and be, I couldn't have the dialogue that I needed to be having, because it just felt gross. Like it felt like I wasn't supposed to do that, and I just couldn't get past this mental block that I had. And in a way, I do feel like I'm a little bit scared of white men, and so that didn't help the therapy, because I was going to therapy for anxiety, so it's like I was in there anxious, so it's just a whole thing. It's crazy what a difference going to someone, especially a Black woman, can do for your experience. And I really am trying to get to a place where I, like, all of my healthcare providers are Black, specifically Black women, if I can get them. I could share more, but I'll leave y'all with that.
Hey, Coach Gang. My name is Shanice. I was asked by my sister, Christ, the owner of The Monthly, to do this video. For one, I want to say this is a great opportunity, I feel like, for women to talk about real life issues that don't get addressed a lot of times. For me personally, I struggled with pregnancy, going through, you know, a traumatic thing like that, losing a child that you walked around with, you know, for 9 months, and just the whole process of it, the space you are in, it's very overwhelming. My first encounter was me at 19, young, just ready to live life, and I got pregnant. At first, you know, you think you're 19, you know, I ain't ready for a baby, but nevertheless, I had to get ready for it. And to go through that process, you know, had a whole healthy pregnancy and everything throughout it. But when it came down to it, like the last couple of months, they had started seeing an incline of my blood pressure. And so I went on to, when I did give birth, I ended up having eclampsia. Me and my husband at the time, we got tests ran and, you know, genetic tests. They tried to rule out pretty much any possible problem that it could be. But at the end of the day, nobody could tell me as to why these things were happening to me. Even specialists couldn't tell me. So I ended up having to, you know, bury my child. I mean, like I said, it was devastating, of course, you know, just to go through that process and knowing that, hey, I won't be taking home my bundle of joy. I got pregnant again once I did get married. And that pregnancy, my doctor's on alert, everything was going as it's supposed to. And that child I got to, you know, actually take home, that the doctor made sure, you know, that my blood pressure was under control, everything was supposed to be. So, yes, I did get blessed with her. My baby's going on 12 years old. But I thank God every day for her. I really do. And then I ended up having the third child a couple of years afterwards. Once again, but we were back again to the same thing where the doctor was saying, hey, but they found this early in my pregnancy, that, hey, it looks like her chest cavity wasn't growing. So they were telling me, you know, my child possibly would have been a dwarf or anything like that, but at the time I didn't care. I went through that pregnancy, you know, hoping for the best, hoping they would find an answer or a solution to my problem. But again, I was back at square one with not knowing again, you know, the same thing that they said the first time was a rare occasion that would not happen is happening to me again. Feeling is real and I had to heal. But it never stopped me as to, you know, want to find out more about why and what is making my body, you know, do the or react this way. Where when I clinically see, hey, I can have a healthy child, no issues or anything like that. But on the other hand, I'm dealing with this traumatic thing. You know what I'm saying? So I applaud any woman, you know, has lost a child, has went through anything like that, because I know that is a really hard and very traumatic thing to deal with your body, your mind, you know, just the whole, your whole aura.
Per the Centers for Disease Control, this chart identifies that Black women are 3 times more likely to die than women of other races in doctor's offices. This is due to medical negligence and just simple, ungenuine care of a woman in a doctor's office and or a healthcare setting. This is why it is so important to advocate for yourselves in doctor's appointments pre and post surgery. This chart, also provided by the Centers for Disease Control, shows that Black women have the highest pregnancy-related deaths in hospitals. It extends way past any other race. And again, this is due to medical malpractice, medical negligence, and no real advocacy for the Black woman in hospitals and doctor settings. Ladies, again, I ask you, I beg of you, to advocate for yourselves in these offices and stay careful. I've dedicated this episode to Amber Rose Isaac, Kira Dixon Johnson, Shimani Makeba Gibson, Kelly Irvin, and the countless nameless other beautiful Black women who are no longer here due to medical negligence. Coochie Gang, I love y'all. Happy Black History Month. And please, fight with me as we continue to end the stigma. It does not end here. It will not end here. And we will always fight.